Welcome everybody back to Stirring the Pot. We've got a bit of a different type of format today. We are doing the NFL Draft Big Board. It's the first big board for this channel. And we've got a bit of a interesting cast again. Not everyone's here, but we've got three of the four main people. It's me, John, Andrew, Gabe, and Nico.
Yep.
What's up, everybody?
Oh, we got a big trade to talk about. Just broke yesterday.
Yes, we do.
Have a big trade to talk about.
And they restructured his contract.
They did restructure his contract, but the big blockbuster trade in the NFL was LaVisca Chenault to the Seahawks. No, I'm just kidding. He did go to the Seahawks.
I saw some fantasy guy post like, it says terrible ramifications for JSN and fantasy next year. I'm like, whoa, buddy.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I feel like JSN.
I'm not sure about that, buddy.
I feel like JSN's kind of solidified himself in that offense as at least a solid wide receiver three, at least as long as Tyler Lockett's there. But the main trade we need to talk about is Diggs to the Texans for a second round pick
in
2025. Yes.
Not even this year.
Not even this year's second round pick. Guys, how do we feel about that?
I think it personally makes the Texans offense that much more dangerous. I mean, you add Diggs to an offense that just got Joe Mixon, already had Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell, and Noah Brown with C.J. Stroud at the helm. They're going to be dangerous in the next couple of years until they have to pay Stroud and all those young guys.
Yeah, and I think restructuring that Diggs deal to only have 1 year left, I think that's pretty big because this is kind of a prove-it year for Diggs. But honestly, I've been talking to my friend, shout-out Carter back home. He's a Bills fan. I think the Bills kind of – I think this worked out pretty well for the Bills.
It's addition by subtraction, I'd say.
It is, yeah.
That's what it feels like.
It's sweet and sour.
Because just the day before, I was really looking at this the day before it broke, that Diggs liked a comment on an Instagram post that said, "Does Josh benefit from having a top-tier receiver? Yes. Is he essential to success? No." It was a tweet, not an Instagram post, sorry.
Yeah.
And to that, Diggs responded, "You sure?" Question mark. So you kind of get the impression he was a bit of a locker room cancer in Buffalo. He was always in the news, in the media for the wrong reasons there.
Yeah, and with this, like, ever since Josh Allen came to the Bills, it seems like everything surrounding them has been, like, positive locker room vibes. They've all been together. It's been Josh Allen leading their team to at least deep playoff appearances. But, I mean, it just wasn't in the cards for them the last few years, and it just feels like Diggs kind of takes it out on his teammates, and he takes it out. He doesn't really go where the blame is meant to be towards, which is himself. He dropped that pass in that AFC game against the Chiefs this year, by the way. It was not on Josh Allen. But I really do think that a fresh start for both parties will definitely be big. Diggs getting to a new environment, trying something different. And the Bills getting more young wide receivers. You got to think they're taking a wide receiver this year in the first round.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. They lost Gabe Davis, too.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want Curtis Samuel being your,
your
wide receiver one?
You do not.
Mac Hollins, I'm not saying Mac Hollins is bad, but Mac Hollins is your wide receiver three, arguably your wide receiver two.
Yeah, and I mean, like, does Khalil Shakir really move you?
If you're talking about a 72 overall, I mean, he's a very solid low 70s player.
Yeah, but it's real life, not Mutt franchises.
I guess the other conversation to be had is that does this make the Texans the best wide receiver core in the NFL?
Do you
think it does? It's a debate to be had now.
I mean, you have to look at it. What are the other teams? Cause I know the Bengals are in.
So the Bengals are up there.
Bengals are still up there, even though they lost Tyler Boyd, which
T is still there. I don't know what's happening with him yet.
Technically still there.
Yeah, technically. I don't know.
It feels like those two.
I like what the Bears are cooking.
I do like the Bears wide receiver.
It's kind of a retirement home, though.
Yeah. You call DJ Moore retirement home?
I'm thinking more Gerald Everett, Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I
know,
guess.
But they have Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
They just got DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
It's an older room than,
I'm not
say, a Bengals room.
I'm not saying they're the best, but give them a year or two. I think the Falcons wide receiver core will be up there.
I can see that with Darnell Mooney.
Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore.
And
I think that's a really good 1-2-3 punch.
I still like that. The Birds are doing, the Eagles and the Seahawks. I still like what they're putting out.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to pivot away from A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. It doesn't really matter what wide receiver you put with those two. They're both very
And Dallas Goedert.
Very.
Yeah, and Dallas Goedert.
And Dallas Goedert.
And
yeah.
Now Saquon Barkley.
And Saquon, yeah, that offense is going to be cooking something next year. For that Eagles team, you got to feel like it's Super Bowl or bust.
Oh, yeah. You at least got to make it back there.
They don't have a scapegoat this time.
They don't.
Brian
Johnson is gone.
Yeah. Honestly, the scapegoat might be Sirianni if they do bad this year.
I think
he's in a scorching hot seat right now.
Personally, I do think Sirianni is the problem.
I think it could be.
I think the coordinator.
I'm just saying, there's a Bill Belichick right there for anyone to take.
They don't have they don't have either of their coordinators to blame. They brought in Kellen Moore at OC and Vic Fangio at DC.
Two really good coordinators who had success elsewhere.
So I think at the end of this year, if you don't see the Eagles in either a very deep playoff run or with a Super Bowl ring, I think Sirianni's head's on the line.
I think it's gone.
Yeah. But let's get into the meat of this episode. We are going with the 2024 draft big boards. So we are going to go through the top five prospects at every main position for this upcoming draft. Some of them are going to be unanimous, but I really do think that there's going to be a lot of people with upside mentioned. I really think there's going to be a lot of people. Some of us are going to have some of our honorable mentions. But I really do think that this draft has a lot of scattered talent. There's two big positions that are very stacked, wide receiver and corner. It's two skill positions, but there's a lot of things to look at, especially right now with the main buzz being at the quarterback position. That is where we are going to start. And I really, if anyone doesn't have this guy at number one, you might be on some kind of drug.
Spencer Rattler, you mean?
Oh yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean
South Carolina quarterback Spencer Rattler.
You want to talk about Kentucky University? What? Devin Leary?
I almost said Spencer Strider. I'm watching baseball. I'm watching too much baseball, man. Nobody likes the Braves. But yeah, I think it's kind of unanimous. What?
It's pink. Caleb Williams, number one.
Yeah. It is. I feel like it's kind of unanimous. Does anyone have any kind of anything out in the open that we need to hear?
It's the most clear-cut one since Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
By far.
There's no doubt.
I mean, he wears his hats backwards. I don't want that lead my team in today.
We got Colin Cowherd in here. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's all the buzz about people painting their nails and all that. Jared McCain dropped 30 in a March Madness game with painted nails, so that take is kind of thrown out the window. Caleb Williams won a Heisman while painting his nails, so I mean, like, you can call it emasculate all you want. Guy's hooping, and guy is cooking on the football field. After the quarterback, I think we should go 5-1.
From quarterback?
I mean, the quarterback's kind of, there's really only like six to pick from.
Well, you got to reorganize the six.
Mm-hmm. The order matters a lot for the six. When you go 5-1?
Well, I mean, yeah, but after quarterback, we should go 5-1.
Okay,
we already did
that.
The one,
I'm
but
that.
I mean,
well, quarterback's kind of,
yeah. The quarterback's probably the one.
I think the five is more interesting for quarterback than the two through three is.
Two should be pretty easy.
Two through four is, you've got like three guys to pick from. It just matters on what like order you put them in. Five is where it gets interesting.
Five's the fun part.
But at number two, I've got Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
I have Drake May.
That's fine.
It's strange because if you asked us a month ago, everyone said Drake May, I feel like.
Yeah.
I like Drake May better. I feel like he's more NFL ready. And when you need a quarterback at this, if you draft a quarterback at this level, you're expecting him to play week one. And I feel like Drake May is the most ready to play because we've seen people who aren't ready to play. Kenny Pickett. And it's worked out horribly. So I feel like he is the go-to number two. Not saying it's not like a large gap. It's very close between the two.
Yeah, and out of the quarterbacks, I watched over some of the pro day tapes. I think Jaden Daniels by far had the worst pro day. He was missing throws left and right. He just didn't look like he was in a rhythm. But, I mean, who's to say? I still do think he's the second most talented quarterback in this draft. If not, if Caleb isn't in this draft, I think Jaden's the most talented quarterback in this draft. But obviously you've got the Messiah up there. You've got Caleb Williams. You've got the savior of Chicago. But now we get on to three. Drake May.
Mine's Jaden Daniels. It's just,
okay. Yeah, those are two and three.
Flip-flopped.
I put Penix.
You're kidding me.
At three?
Okay,
I'll see this about Penix.
I'll hear you out on this one. I'll hear you out.
Well, I guess I can Can I just reveal the other two? Because I have May at 5.
Whoa.
I have JJ at 4.
Okay. I have JJ at 4.
Do we all have JJ at 4?
Yeah.
No.
You don't.
I'm seeing shaking at 5.
I have Penix at 4 and JJ at 5.
Okay. Damn. We all have. Nico, so who you got?
What?
Four and 5 for quarterbacks?
4, I have McCarthy, and 5, I have Penix.
So no, okay, so no Bo Nix love.
We all have the same 5 quarterbacks. Wow. Andrew, I have something I'd like to say about Penix, but you go first because Penix is your 3.
I mean, I'm thinking NFL ready. Yeah. I'd like Penix over May. McCarthy over May, you could probably debate for NFL ready, but I guess I just, the stupid potential and whatever, all that, the physicals, all that BS. That's, I guess, what moved me for McCarthy over May, as much as it hurts.
So you're saying that Penix is 2 shoulder surgeries and ACL surgery is a passing physical?
That's what did it for me. That's really what did it for me, because I think if Penix didn't have that injury history, that like lengthy injury history, I may have put him as high as 3 as well. But
especially considering he's a lefty. You gotta be careful with the lefties. You gotta be careful.
Which other lefty? What are you imposing here?
Lefty quarterbacks, they just seem to get hurt more.
Lefty QBs just remind me of Tua.
Yeah.
And Tua's really
mid. You need to restructure your offensive lineup differently for a lefty.
And Tua's really mid. Do you guys remember when they were calling Tua the left-handed Drew Brees?
Yeah. Yep, I remember that.
And he could not be farther from that?
No. Yeah, because he has a losing record when he's playing teams over 500.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't even know.
Listen, I'll say about Penix, I think he might very well have the most NFL success out of this class. In terms of he's probably going to go late day one or like day two. So he's going to go to a good team. I think the Rams, if he's on the board for their pick in day two, are going to take him to be the heir to Matt Stafford.
See, I really do think that he's going second round.
He's going to get to sit for a while, a couple of years, I think, because he probably has to.
I feel like, by no means am I comparing these two players, but I really do think he'll have kind of like a Mahomes arc.
Lamar Jackson, in a sense. Yeah. Reminds me a lot of Lamar Jackson coming out of college. So he might get picked around that same range.
But Lamar was kind of thrusted into that situation. Everyone was really low on Lamar, though. Not a lot of people are that low on Penix.
I think we've learned from people like Lamar to judge quarterbacks differently than we did in 2018.
I think that's why I'm showing so much love to Daniels, because Daniels plays a lot like Lamar.
Yeah. He's the modern-age quarterback.
Yeah. Lamar is, like, leagues better than Jaden Daniels. He's a 2-time league MVP, right?
Yeah. But
I honestly forgot he won the MVP this year. But it's just – it's a different type of quarterback era. We're shifting away from the pocket passer, and I mean, it's more fun. Like, it's way more fun to watch.
I think if this current draft class went in, like, say, 2015, 2014, I think JJ would go too.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he's more the mold of, like, that era of quarterbacks. So Tom Brady's, Drew Brees.
I really think if it was, like, 2014, 2015, I think Drake May is the consensus one.
Really?
I can see that.
Yeah.
Really?
Back in that era.
Over Marcus Mariota and famous Jameis?
If this draft class was in that era.
Okay.
If it was in, like, 2015, I think Drake May is consensus one.
I think the thing with Penix, though, his ceiling, I think him and Daniels have the lowest ceiling, if that makes sense. So Daniel's ceiling. Daniel's serious.
I think Daniels has a lower ceiling. Not a lower ceiling, a lower floor.
Floor, that's what I mean. No, sorry. That's what I meant. I didn't mean lower ceiling. I meant lower floor. Because Daniels could be, he could be, I'm going to say he could be a rookie RG3 at his 4, but he could be Lamar Jackson, honestly, with that tiny better accuracy with his ceiling. And then you have Penix, whose 4 could be Colt McCoy. With his ceiling being, off the top of my head, Jameis, but with better reads. I mean, that's legit what it is.
I think Jaden Daniels, he's obviously a better rusher than he is. He reminds me a lot of Tyrod Taylor. I really do think he's just got that kind of build, and he kind of plays the same way as him. He's a lot shiftier. He's a lot shiftier than Tyrod is and was. He's a lot faster. He's a better runner. But the way they look at the game, I think he's a lot like Tyrod. And I mean, Tyrod was a solid starter for a few years.
No, he was. He was the guy for Buffalo.
Yeah.
That one year, I think it was 1 year he threw for like, 3,200 yards and rushed for like 800. He was that guy.
He was great.
He was like the next coming of like Teddy Bridgewater.
Or yeah.
Something. And it was
and
like.
I just think that like, obviously Jaden Daniels doesn't have like a crazy low floor.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's terrible, but I mean.
I'd say his floor is Tyrod Taylor. I wouldn't say that's too low. I also wouldn't say that's too high.
And why I don't think that Daniels is NFL ready is because if you watch the tape, and I've talked to you guys about this a lot, if you watch the tape, it goes, he'll snap it, he'll look to his left. If there's some guy named Malik not open, he'll look to his right. And then Thomas is always running some type of streak route. He always is. And because if he runs anything else, Daniels is going to miss him. Because he looks at Malik first. And if Thomas isn't open, he doesn't look at his third option because his third option is already out the window. His tight end's out the window already because he's missed his progressions. And he tucks it and runs. And in the
That's not how you play at the NFL level is the thing.
And that's the thing because you agree with me.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't have a problem with him. He does have a bit of accuracy, but everyone has an off day. And I've seen him in college. He has great accuracy if you watch the actual tape, not just his pro day of that one pro day. But the thing is, if he can't get that progression, you got to think he doesn't have pictures on the sideline. He doesn't have short and down plays. He's got, you know, 15 seconds as a coach yells into his ears as, you know, 20,000 fans scream on or whatever number it is. And it's just so risky to take him because that four for me is so detrimental. But his ceiling is so high.
I just think the real thing is, I think the best landing spot for him by far would be New England, because they brought in Brissett, didn't they?
Yep.
I think let him sit. He's not ready to start.
Because Washington,
he's not starting out of the gate.
Washington's best guy is Marcus Mariota.
Yes. Yeah. I really don't think because like
I don't want him in Washington.
Because like I mean I have him going to Washington. I'd rather
want him there.
Yeah, I would want him there because I don't want him to be good.
Terry McLaurin. Jahan Dotson, a good revamped offensive line.
But it's just the fact that...
He's a good outlet back and Austin Eckler in the backfield.
With the Commanders, he wouldn't be able to sit a year. They'd throw him right into the fire, and then you'd just have another RG3 situation. But I really just think, like, let him sit behind a vet. Obviously, like Gabe was saying, his progressions still aren't that good. Like, if you want to look one side, if three of your guys aren't open... You just tuck it and run. That's not how you play at the NFL level. That's not how you get successful at the NFL level. And I think sitting behind a vet guy, Jacoby Brissett's a good quarterback. He would definitely be someone you would be comfortable sitting a guy behind. But I really do think that we won't see Jaden Daniels until the 2025-2026 season. I don't think he'll be the main starter, especially if he goes to the Patriots. But like we were saying, that potential is through the roof. I think he could be a potential league MVP.
Yeah, when you say his ceiling is legit Lamar Jackson with accuracy.
Yeah. I mean, Lamar's gotten a lot more accurate.
Yeah, Lamar, it has. I'm not saying Lamar is not accurate, but when you see him throw that deep ball, yeah, he is LaMid. He is LaMid when he throws something over 40 yards or over 30 yards. I mean, you've got to be careful with that, but I feel like I'm just type of guy, and it might be biased because my team has the second overall pick. But to be honest, my team does have the second overall pick, and it might be biased. I would rather have a safe option because when Kirk Cousins has the most starts in the last 25 years for your team, at 60, and Sam Howell is six most starts. I'm pretty sure it's six most starts with 16. You just want a quarterback.
Yeah, you really do. Is that really all we need to go over for the quarterbacks? I mean, obviously, JJ is a bit of a wild card. You could either see him being like a Brock Purdy type guy, like a good game manager. And you could also see him being a bad game manager. You could see him being Colts Carson Wentz. But I feel like there's not really much else to talk about. We just had all this
a lot in the mock drafts.
Yeah, we did. If you want to go back and listen to us talking about JJ, go back to when we talked in the mock draft. We did talk a lot about JJ McCarthy, but I think now it's time to transition to the running backs, which I think this is a sneaky good running back class.
Oh, it really is.
Nobody's talking about the running backs because nobody really needs a running back. I wouldn't really say there's first-round running back talent on this board, but the amount of solid second-round running back talent on this board is incredible. So we're going to go from 5 to 1 for the rest of these. My 5 at running back is Notre Dame's Audric Estime.
I have Bucky Irving at 5.
Whoa.
I have Blake Corum at 5.
Ooh.
I have Braylon Allen at 5.
Okay.
I have Frank Gore Jr.
Whoa!
He played great in the East-West game. So
okay, yeah.
Wow. He played great in that East-West game. That was great.
Spencer Rattler did, too.
All right, I feel like we all kind of need to defend our picks here. Andrew, you want to go first?
So I was going to say what scared me off from Estimate is the 4-7-1-40.
Yeah.
That was like, to me. And Blake had the injuries, but still, like, elusive, I think, and still a good running back, so I thought he'd be a good 5.
Yeah, I could see that. John, you had Braylon Allen, right?
I have Bucky Irving.
Bucky Irving.
I mean, honestly, I think there's a clear one in this class. I have a clear one in this class. The rest can kind of go either way. I just love Bucky Irving. He's fast. He's quick. He'd be a good he's a good pass catcher, but he's small. That's a big downside in the NFL. You're going to take a lot of hits in the NFL. You're going to take a lot of hits in the NFL, and that's going to drag him down for me a bit.
Yeah.
Especially because we see like guys like Todd Gurley just go down in value because they just deteriorate so fast. So I think you want a bigger frame for running back in this current day and age.
Yeah. Gabe, you want to defend your, Braylon Allen pick?
Yeah, I was like, why not? He's got such high potential.
Yeah.
You're not going to get him in the top 4 round. You're going to get him in a day 3, let's be honest here. And it's a high risk, it's a high reward, low risk. I mean, it just feels like one of those. And he's 19.
He just turned 20.
He's
really young.
Still, how many 20-year-olds do you have in the draft? I think Panini Sewell is the last one you've had.
Yeah.
And it was, you see how he turned out, but he was a prospect. But, I mean, you just got to see, I think you have a lot of potential with this guy.
Did you say Panini Sewell?
Yeah. My guy.
I was like, did I hear that right?
That's the new Dunquise. Yeah, I do agree with you. I think Braylon Allen is definitely, I would say he's a bit of a wild card, but I think you could
get him with a 6th round pick.
Yeah.
I don't see that as like,
I don't know.
It's a 6th round pick.
I think he goes late day 2. Nico, you had, the interesting one here, Frank Gore Jr.
He played well in the East-West game, and also he is the son of Frank Gore. So there's got to be something there.
I think Anthony would be giving you a big hug right now.
Well, I mean, obviously he didn't play the best school, Southern Miss, but I feel like he's got a lot of potential. I'm just going to put it that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too high on him. I'll give an honorable mention to another famous son later on, but I have to defend my Audric Estime take. He is slow. He's not a very explosive back, but that's not really his job.
He has a good build.
He's an NFL running back build. And I just think that people are going to take him just because they need that third down power back. He'll get you the extra yards. He'll fight for the extra yards. And you saw him do it all year at Notre Dame. At one point, everyone thought he was the consensus one running back in this draft. For the first 4 or 5 weeks, I mean, typical Notre Dame fashion, first four or five weeks.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I think he was a large part of why people thought Sam Hartman was at least somewhat of an NFL caliber quarterback. Other than Sam Hartman's chiseled chin, he's not really an NFL guy in my eyes.
He's an Old Spice model.
Say hi to the Houston Roughnecks. Number 4, that's where I have Braylon Allen.
I have Blake Corum going for.
Ooh.
Bucky Irving.
Okay.
We just flip-flopped.
I have Jalen Wright.
I have Will Shipley.
Whoa. First thing I want to go over, Jalen Wright at 4. Why is that?
I mean, he's a freak athlete. Don't get me wrong. He is, in my opinion, the best athletic running back in this draft. And it's not even close. Like, in my opinion, it's not even close. 4.3 speed, can jump out the roof. But that production, man, it just scares me. And, I mean, he's not as strong as the other running backs on this list. I'm talking physically-wise. You have Audric Estime, like Andrew pointed out. You have Trey Benson. I feel like Bucky Irving is sneaky strong, and people don't know it yet. And people like Dylan Johnson, it's the same thing. I don't have Dylan Johnson on my top 5 list, but I'm just saying. And I just feel like athleticism only gets you so far. I'll throw an example. Bryce Love was crazy for Stanford.
Yeah.
And what is he doing now? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
He's getting as much reps as Jay Cutler is. So, I mean.
John, over to you.
I have Blake Corum. He feels like a. Obviously, he had dominated the college football playoff. He feels like a different mode of running back than we're used to. He's a bell cow. He's a true bell cow, in my opinion. And he had a great college football playoff run. He's a guy who does better the more touches he gets, I want to say. And obviously, he lacked his looseness this year, early in the season, but kind of got it back for the playoffs. So I think he'll be a good solid day two pick for some team, the Cowboys, the Chargers, that just needs a guy who can just run the ball 20 times a game if you have to.
Yeah, that's very true. I think he does seem kind of like a Cowboys guy. Andrew?
Buck Irving, I don't think there's an explanation needed. I mean, he's just good running back, but there's better than him that I think.
Yeah, that's fair. Nico. Will Shipley.
So I compared him to McCaffrey, which wasn't a great comparison, but
my God.
He is a Funko Pop size version of Christian McCaffrey. He has very good speed, he has good hands, he's a very good elusive back. There you go.
Fair. That's fair enough. Braylon Allen, I think he has the highest upside of any running back in this draft. He did also have a good pro day, and he is 6'2", 245 at 20 years old. That is destined to be a long-term high caliber.
The 20. I feel like 20 doesn't matter that much for running, but the age doesn't really matter as much as it used to. I feel like it's more wear and tear that matters more.
Yeah, especially for running backs.
Because you see running backs, most Nick Cruz end before 30, you know.
Yeah.
Or in their early 30s.
Yeah. He didn't run a 40, but I don't think he has game speed. He does have game speed.
He's shifty.
He's very shifty. And so is the guy that I picked next. Number three, I have Bucky Irving.
I also have Bucky Irving at three.
I flopped. I had Braylon Allen at three.
Hey.
I'd ask to make one three.
Ooh. Nico, who we got at three?
Cody Schrader.
Oh. Whoa. My take was hot for a
sec. Whoa.
He was my honorable mention, so I'm not going to hate.
What is Mike?
All right. Do we want to just, before we go over this, do we want to do honorable mentions? Mine was Ray Davis of Kentucky.
Mine was Cody Schrader.
Hey!
Mine was Cody Schrader.
Mine was with Marshall Lloyd or whatever it's called from USC.
Yeah.
And mine was also with Ray Davis. And then Cody Schrader was on there for like a day six because he's a guy who would definitely work his way up.
Yeah.
He's going to work his way up.
Yeah.
My honorable mention was Rasheen Ali simply because he went to my high school.
That's cool.
What an estimate. He has that NFL running back build. That's so important, I feel like, nowadays. Just to be able to take hits. And take a lot of punishment with these big D linemen we have now. That's more important than ever in this current day and age of the NFL. I think that kind of moved about my draft board, definitely.
Yeah. I would have had Bucky Irving at two, but I just think the two guys above him
two
are...
Two guys are so ahead for me, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I think they're just way too ahead for
they're
me.
They're one and two.
One and two, or my one at least, is way ahead of everyone. But... Yep. I think Bucky Irving could definitely be a really good kind of Kareem Hunt kind of guy, like the second fiddle running back. He could be that second guy out of the backfield. I really do think that his pass catching upside is what gives him the third for me. But he's fast. He's sneaky strong.
This entire class feels built for like this current age of running backs.
Yeah. Other than
of committees.
Other than Troy Franklin, I really do think that Bucky Irving was one of the things that made Bo Nix look like such a good quarterback this year.
My opinion, he was, because he took so much attention off of the passing game.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying Derrick Henry needs to go somewhere with effective wide receivers. Not quarterback, but effective wide receivers. Could you imagine you trying to, like, you know, say he goes to the Dolphins, you're trying to... game plan for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and you got Derrick Henry back there, and now you can't hip tackle the man?
The hip drop, yeah. I feel like that would make Estime go up boards, too. You can't hip drop tackle anymore.
You can't, no.
And Braylon Allen. I feel like Braylon Allen's draft stock might go up because of the hip drop.
So I think they get rid of it within the year.
So for Braylon at three, I mean, he's young, and he's got a good, big, strong body. Really good runner.
Okay, you didn't have to go in depth like that. I get what you mean, but, like, why?
Oh, my God. That's almost as bad as me
he's
last
got,
week.
He's got that, like, freak athlete build.
It's like the Hawks OnlyFans thing. Yeah, I mean, off there.
And he can run it, showed it at Wisconsin, and he will be a good value pick.
Yeah, he will definitely be. Honestly, I hope my Bengals pick him up.
1 and 2 better be consensus. There better be no debate here.
There's no debate for 1 and 2 for me.
Well, at least for mine. I think me and Andrew definitely have the same top two. Number two, I have Jalen Wright.
Yep.
And I think it's kind of obvious who the number one's going to be. Let's talk about Jalen Wright for a little bit.
I have Trey Benson.
Wow.
Because I had Jalen Wright at 4.
That's true. I do like the Trey Benson shout. Nico, who was your 2?
Same guy you went.
Oh, Jalen Wright?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really think there's much to say. Jalen Wright is an absolute beast.
Athletic
freak.
He's a freak.
Dre Ocher type vibes here. I'm talking like he's crazy.
I've got a different comp. I think he gives me Le'Veon Bell vibes. I really do think I watched him at Tennessee. I did follow a lot of Tennessee games. He's able to hit those holes so fast. He just gets through the holes that the guards make for him. And I mean, if you give him at least a top 15 O-line wherever he gets drafted, he's going to boom. And I really do think that this is going to sound weird, but the way he plays gives me what the Cowboys thought Tony Pollard was going
to
be.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. He really gives me Tony Pollard vibes. He was a whenever Joe Milton wasn't missing throws, that's no knock to Joe Milton. He's my,
quacking.
He was my honorable mention for quarterbacks. I love him.
Spencer Rattler was mine.
Yeah. But like I said, athletic freak. He's quick on his feet. He's got the kind of shiftiness that you want in a smaller running back nowadays. But I don't know. What else do you guys have to say about Jalen Wright?
He's young, too.
Yes, he is.
He's really young, too.
Took the words out of my mouth, really.
And also, he didn't get as much work in Tennessee as, like, he's still pretty fresh in terms of workload-wise.
It was dual backfield, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
7.4 yards per carry. I think
GMs are going to like that.
Seven and a half yards a carry.
But that's the problem is that now you're saying, what happens if he does get all the carries? Because we saw what happened with Pollard when he got most of the carries. And I'm not saying it was mostly his fault.
I think he'll be best in the committee system.
But
yeah,
it would definitely have to take a dual running back type deal with him.
Yeah. And I really do think that he did slim up for that 40.
He does fit the Bengals a lot.
You see a lot of players do that. They slim up for the 40.
Xavier Worthy, the most noteworthy.
They slim up for it. And because, let's be honest, they can bulk up like crazy before the season begins. It's so easy for them.
And I think if Jalen Wright gains a good 15 pounds.
He's 210. He's 210 right now.
I think if he gains a good like 10 pounds when he gets in the league, he'll be a force.
He's 210 right now.
Yeah.
So 210, 438, I think it was. That's incredible.
Yeah. And the number one, I feel like everyone has.
Do you want me to explain why I picked Trey Benson?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You picked Trey Benson.
I picked Trey Benson because I feel like, again, right, you know, it's that 7.4 yards per carry is great, but again, could he be the main guy if he has to? We've seen running backs fall down. I'm going to pull out a name. Austin Eckler was amazing when he had a 2-back, and then he became more and more as the main guy, and it just he suffered for it. And now he's with Washington. Well, he won't be the main guy, and he's going to thrive in it. I feel like Jaren Knight, he needs to prove it first, and I just couldn't go, and that's why I went Trey Benson. He's still very athletic for his size. He's a good running back. It's legit. What I did right there is a safety pick. I legit pulled an Andrew. So, I mean, it was a complete safety pick.
Yeah, and it's a pretty solid safety pick, too. He's a good running back. He did a lot for – it was FSU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if I was mixing him up or not. But the consensus number one, I feel like this kind of goes without saying, Texas, Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I know if any of you guys were listening at the start of the year when we were covering college football, I said Texas needed their Bijan replacement. Jonathan Brooks, I would say, was very close, if not did fill those shoes. He was a major part of that offense, especially when Quinn Ewers was out with an injury and they had whoever's mid-self playing at quarterback. But he's a dynamo. That's the one word I wrote for him. I just said dynamo. He can do everything. He's great in the pass game. He's great in the run game. He is shifty. He's fast. He's a power back, too. He can run people over. He can stiff arm people. He's strong. He's got all the tools to be a running back one for pretty much any team in the NFL. Does anybody else have anything to say?
I mean, he's put himself in there as a definite second-round pick. He's in that Dalvin Cook area. Like, when Dalvin Cook was in that, he is in that type of area. And I feel like his receiving game is completely underrated. I mean, people talk about Bucky Irving in the receiving game. They talk about that. You guys see Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy are the receivers.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Breece Hall.
Yeah.
That's my comp for
him. He reminds me of Jamal Charles. I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of Dalvin Cook, by the way, the first time I ever used Photoshop was to make an edit of Dalvin Cook at Florida State. That was great.
Jets legend right there.
Oh, no. He played on the Jets.
2 yards a carry?
2 yards a carry.
2 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I almost got my Jamal Adams jersey nameplate swapped to a Dalvin Cook jersey, which would have been a waste of $100.
Oh, God.
From one bum to another.
All right. Are we heading on to wide receiver?
Yes, we are.
We need to start speeding this up a little bit.
We do.
Wide receiver, we're starting down at 5. I have Keon Coleman, Florida State.
I have Xavier Worthy, Texas.
Ooh.
I have Adonai Mitchell.
Okay.
I have Brian Thomas.
Oh.
At 6 or 5?
For the wide receiver. Oh, do we want to do honorable mention to start?
Honorable mention, I had Xavier Worthy. 5, I had Ladd McConkey.
Oh, my God. Honorable mention for wide receiver, I had Jalen McMillan.
I have Adonai Mitchell there.
I had Jalen Polk.
Okay. So the Washington guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My honorable mention is Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, I didn't have him on either game.
I didn't have Keon Coleman. I'm not a Brian Thomas guy. I did not have Brian Thomas or Keon Coleman.
I wouldn't say my honorable mention is a 6 pick, because I would probably have Brian Thomas at 6. But I just think it's like the underrated guy.
I'd agree.
I'd probably go Jalen.
That's why I have Jalen Polk.
Yeah.
Xavier, where are we at 5?
That's crazy.
So we all have different
one
fives.
Name. One name. I love Xavier Worthy. I'm gonna jump the gun already. I love Xavier Worthy, but if he did not run that 4.21, he's not a first rounder.
There
is a difference between.
He's shifty.
There is a difference between in game speed and whatever the heck you want to call it.
I think he has in game speed.
He does.
He does. His frame worries me a lot.
See, I think
he's gonna get bent by some of these. He's going to get bent in two by these DBs.
Okay. He looks over at Nico.
See, not like that, bro. I meant he's going to get like tabletopped, bro.
Oh,
he's going to. What do you want me to say? He's going to get railed by these defenders.
God.
What? He's going to break something. Like these DBs are like getting so much stronger nowadays.
I don't think you can just drop Xavier Worthy any team and have him be good. I think he's getting it best if he goes with team like
Bills.
The Niners if
Bills.
The Niners if Ayuk leaves.
He's a Bill.
The Ravens.
He's a Bill.
Some team that has a good offensive coach who can utilize his skill set and his speed. He has one intangible skill he's definitely the best at in this class, and that puts him ahead of guys like Keon Coleman or Ladd McConkey for me. And I think if he goes to a team like the Chiefs, for example, like the Niners, like the Ravens, with an offensive-minded coach and a good offense that can use that speed and get him in schemes to make the best of that, he'll be one of the best in this class, I think, by far.
Yeah. I loved Keon Coleman when he first came to FSU.
He fell off so
he did
much.
Fall off.
He did fall off, but I think his athleticism saves him in this draft. He's a freak athlete. He's tall. He's athletic. He's got a great build for a wideout. He's tall, and he can make contested catches. We saw it early in the season for FSU, but he's only really had one season as a starter, so I really do think this is the project pick at wide receiver. He's the guy that if you put him in the right system, if you get him the right coaching, keep getting him reps solid, all these good reps and all that. And I really do think that Keon Coleman could come out of this draft as a top 3 wide receiver in the class, if coached right.
He needs time.
He does need time.
Like a JSN style pick.
Yeah.
Of like getting to a place that already has good receivers. Let him sit for a year, learn behind them.
He's not.
And gradually move him into that starting role.
He's not an instant franchise changer. Like he will down the road, I think he'll have some sort of.
I think he could be
impact.
A great wide receiver 2 in 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Andrew, you had Ladd McConkey.
Don't Beasley part two.
Was there any factor that made you pick Ladd McConkey at five?
So yeah, I know it's going to be exactly what you think it is, but no. Like just seeing like
That might have to get cut. That might have to get cut.
There's nothing wrong with what he said. It's just funny.
Why is something
what we implied?
No. I mean.
Shout out Larry Bird, man.
Plays the game the right way.
He's obviously not fast.
He's got a 4.3.
He is fast.
He's fast as
Okay, quack. He's fast as quack. He's fast as
I mean, he runs routes well. He's not, like, catches the ball well, whatever.
He reminds me of a better Hunter Renfrow.
He's
Hunter Renfrow again.
He's not going to stand out because there's so many better guys.
He's a great slot receiver.
Does he remind you of Steve Largent?
I wasn't old enough to watch Steve Largent.
I don't think any of us were.
No ball, brother. No ball.
No ball.
He just really gives me that grit and grind, Cole Beasley kind of vibes.
That's what he gives me.
Jordy Nelson,
I
man.
Don't know if Ladd.
I can see that guy in a Bills uniform so perfectly.
Danny Amendola, man. Just those guys.
Kevin Hogan.
Ready to step in and play day one.
Chris Hogan.
First in, last out kind of guys. But, yeah, anybody, what did you have at five?
Donnie Mitchell.
Okay.
Tall,
would you like to explain?
Tall, faster, little Jordan Humphrey that could actually make big-time plays at the NFL level. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
Touchdown.
It's kind of hard to pass on. With a guy his size and his ability to locate the football when it's at its peak. I mean, yeah. It's really tough.
Nico, who'd you have?
And Brian Thomas Jr. I think he's got good size and speed. I mean, he's 6'3", 210, ran a 4.3. Come on.
Yeah. Up to four. Four is where I have Adonai Mitchell go.
I have Mitchell at four, too.
Mitchell at four. McConkey.
Wow.
Whoa.
I have Lyle McConkey at four.
That's insane.
I have Xavier Worthy.
Oh.
Oh, I like that. I like
Woo-hoo!
That. I'll say on Xavier Worthy, he feels like what Tamron Austin was supposed to be. In the NFL.
Literally, all I said was he was very fast, but, like, he needs to put on some weight.
He does.
Or he's going, like, as you said, Connor, he's like, going to get destroyed.
He has in-game speed, which I like. He's not like a straight John Ross. He doesn't use the speed in-game.
I need to give a quick shout-out to Xavier Leggett for throwing the date ball.
The date ball.
Future Bengal.
Dude, I wish. That'd be great.
Wait, second round?
Hey, so I'll take them.
3-2-1 have to be easily agreed upon, right? Yeah. Like in any order.
Yeah.
Should we touch on
Adonai Mitchell first? In any order, yes.
One easy out of the question. I mean, come on.
Should we touch on Adonai Mitchell first before we go on?
Like, why pick Ladd McConkey?
Yeah, please talk about that.
Yeah, we'll probably have to discuss the Ladd McConkey pick.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Because
I thought Andrew putting Ladd McConkey at five was weird. You're putting him at four.
Putting him at four. There's something about that gauntlet drill he ran. And I'm guessing you guys know the gauntlet drill when you turn around and catch the ball and blah, blah, blah. There's something about that. When
we stand for the flag.
He's still going full speed.
God bless America.
He's still going full speed. They didn't have to tell him to slow down. And he is perfectly straight on that line. He has great. He legit has great body control. He's fast. I legit can see him. Of course, he's going to be a Cole Beasley type player. But his ceiling for me is you know Cooper Kupp with a tiny bit less
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp faster less route running.
I can't get the Hunter Renfrow comparison out of my head. I thought earlier. It's such
I love Hunter Renfrow.
He's a good receiver.
The thing with Ladd McConkey, you know, he only started really 1 year.
Yeah, he only started 1 year.
And he had Stetson Bennett at quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, and they didn't really use their wide receivers.
A lot of good teams have that good, fast slot receiver.
Well, they didn't really use him at Georgia because, you know, they're an all-around team. And they're carried by defense. I mean, let's be honest here. They're carried by defense. And example number one, the Eagles. And the thing is, Ladd McConkey had over 150 yards in the game. I mean, like, when they actually utilized Ladd McConkey, he showed, you know, these flashes in that combine. And, you know, his overall ability and his ceiling, I feel like he can stick with number four.
Yeah. Nico, you picked someone different, right?
Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
It's just he's really fast. He just needs to put on weight, and I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I think this is the consensus pick. I think number three, Roma Dunze. I think everyone's going to have a Dunze at three.
I did Dunze at
three. A Dunze at three. I don't really think we need to explain that much.
P's DeAndre Hopkins light. Yeah. Is that a hot take?
I think
That's
so.
I think so. A big jump ball receiver.
He makes he's a Michael Irvin. He makes
That's what I thought. I thought more Michael Irvin.
He makes the plays when you need him. If you need a catch, you call on him, and he's going to come down.
They're both playmakers.
He won them Oregon. He won them Arizona State.
Let's just hope he's not Michael Irvin off the field.
Yeah, let's really hope he's not.
Yeah.
He's a playmaker.
He's a
a jump ball, a good extra jump ball receiver.
He can't land a helicopter, but he can sure make a catch.
All right. No. This is where I piss a lot of people off. Number two, everyone else go.
I have neighbors.
Oh, God. Even Marvin Harrison at two, didn't
I have
you?
Marvin Harrison at two.
I have Marvin Harrison at two.
Yes! Yes!
This is the most. This is the real.
Thank
the draft
you!
Can't come fast.
Thank
enough.
You!
No, the drafts can't
can,
come
can,
fast.
Thank you!
I can understand why you put him at two. I can understand.
Thank you! Andrew can't. Andrew's being a little crying.
I can't understand why.
Oh, no. No more OH? No more OH? We're OH!
Oh, God. If RJ was here.
Please explain why Malik Nabers is ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr.
Faster, better pro day. Actually competed at the pro day.
Has a better motor, in my opinion.
He has a better motor.
When has drafting off of pro day meant anything?
Zach Wilson.
That's a bad example.
That's a great example.
He's a great quarterback. Okay, everybody needs to quiet down. We need to have a civil conversation about this one.
Oh, my God. The audio spikes are crazy.
Yeah. We are sorry to all headphone users. You probably want to die right now. Good luck. Yeah, it's really close for me. It's so close. But Malik Nabers pro day, man. He looked so good. He ran a 4.35, and he still has to put on weight. He ran a 4.35. He makes the contested catches.
He's a great receiver, but he's not Marvin Harrison Jr.
He got robbed of the Biletnikoff.
He's not Marvin Harrison Jr.
More catches and more yards.
Thank you. Where's the Biletnikoff? Robbed.
Yeah, he also had Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison, and Kyle McCord.
The only reason Marvin Harrison won it, is because Kyle McCord was his quarterback, and he made him look better. He's carrying
LSU's offense, plays Nabers, he'd have much better stats.
Kyle McCord.
It's interchangeable.
Bad.
I'm not saying it's not. I just think right now, if I were to pick someone, I'd probably go Nabers. Just because we've seen more of him in the offseason. It looks like he wants to put in the work. Marvin Harrison's just lollygagging around like his dad probably was and is like, oh, no, I'm already the number four pick.
Connor, that's why I think Arizona's going to trade.
He looks lazy for doing that.
That's why I think Arizona's going to trade.
I think that's going to turn GMs off.
It does. No, it does. And this is why I think Arizona's going to trade.
It's the same with Bowers.
They're going to move down one pick. They're going to flip-flop with the Chargers, get a bunch of mid-round picks, because let's be honest here.
Yeah.
And they're gonna pick Harrison, and then they're gonna pick Nabers right after that. And now they've secured probably a third and fourth round pick and Malik Nabers.
I mean, in that position, either of those two, you're fine with taking. They're both generational wide receivers, and I really do think that you could go either way here. It was very hard for me to not take Marvin Harrison at one, but I just think that recently Nabers has looked like a much better wide receiver.
I think the pro day is a 300 buddy for a loop right now.
It's not just the pro day. It's just Marvin Harrison looks like he doesn't care.
I think that's what's killing him right now.
Yeah.
If anything, and I don't buy into that much. I think he puts the work, and I think obviously the GMs know more than we do. If it's actually true or not.
Yeah.
Like what his character is. We can only infer so much from the outside.
Oh yeah.
I can at least respect that. I mean, I think for Marvin Harrison Jr., he's just known since last year that he was going number one at wide receiver. So he's got no incentive to, and he doesn't really. But I understand where you're coming from.
It's just the thing that now that he has competition, he's still not doing anything. I just think that if Malik Nabers coming out, I think Malik Nabers should have won the Biletnikoff. But I just think now that there's competition there, why don't you do that to show what you're made of?
Well, it just feels lazy to me.
It's
basic athlete, and I put it in this way, and I know it's a different kind of wording, but there's two people in sports. There's leaders, and there's chasers. And leaders, I'm not talking about, locker room, I'm going to stand up Tim Tebow speech to them. I'm talking they're always in front, They're always at first. They always win. And that's Marvin Harrison right now. He's never lost. He's never lost. He's undefeated. He's LaVar Ball. And I mean, like, right now, he's like that. And Malik Davis is like, I can catch this guy's ass.
Yeah. And what are the two teams that are after the three teams that need quarterbacks? Cardinals and Chargers. The only the only players that kind of look like leaders on those teams are their quarterbacks. What do they need? A second in command.
I mean, I don't think we can judge character from this far away.
We can't. But I really do think that with the, it's all media.
There's a reason to believe there's character issues there. It is strange in doing a tryout.
It's all media.
And I understand the combine. I understand. You know, maybe you don't want to do pro day. What I don't understand, the interviews. And first of all, not telling the teams that you're not going to show up for the interviews. What's it called when you leave the person on the date? Like what? He stood them up. He stood up everyone.
It's just strange. It's really strange.
It gives me Diggs vibes.
And you don't want a diva wide receiver in the NFL. You don't. It's never a.
That's
fun.
The last thing you want.
Ask Dom. He would know.
Yeah.
Chase Claypool. Oh jeez. And George Pickens. Oh,
I mean,
they're
gonna go 4-5. Maybe. What teams pick their? We don't really know yet if it's a trade or not. They're going to go 4-5, kind of obviously.
Yeah, I think we need to move on from wide receiver. I think it's pretty obvious that me and Gabe both had Malik Nabers as the number one wide receiver, and everyone else had Marvin Harrison. So, I mean, it's in my opinion, it's interchangeable.
I actually had Ricky Pearsall, but
in my opinion, I had Xavier Leggetti.
You had him. He's the number one wide receiver.
It's just the
no. We're going tight end.
We're going tight end first.
I don't think we really need to say much. Brock Bowers is the number one tight end in this draft.
And
I don't think it's close.
It's not at all.
We don't really need to talk about Brock Bowers. I feel like we can speed through the tight ends. Two is where it gets a little interesting for me.
I have Sanders.
I had Dallin Holker.
Really?
Yeah.
I had Cade Stover.
Stover as well.
I had Cade Stover.
I had Sanders.
I had Sanders at three.
Do I need to defend my Dallin Holker?
Yes, I think you do.
I really do. I do think that we saw early in this season that this Colorado State team was competitive. What was the reason for their competitive success? Dallin Holker. And I mean, that offense, I'm not going to mince words. That offense wouldn't be jack shit without him. And I really do think that he can offer something in the at the NFL level.
I had Holker at four. I have to agree.
Yeah. He's on the list, at least. He's at least on the list. But three, let's head over. I've got Cade Stover at three.
I've also got Cade Stover.
I have Jatavion Sanders.
I have Jatavion Sanders. Yeah.
There's four names here, I think.
No, there's five.
And I have Holker at four.
Okay. I've got Jatavion Sanders at four.
I have Jaheim Bell at four.
From Florida State.
Jaheim Bell. Ooh, it's an interesting one. I know Andrew's going to take Eric All at four.
Yeah, Homer pick. I feel bad about it.
I have Eric All at five, man.
I have Eric All at five. You can't go wrong with an Iowa tight end.
I have Eric All at five, too.
I have Brevin Spanford from Minnesota.
Okay. All right, let's move on because that was really boring.
It's a boring tight end class.
I mean, Brock Bowers is...
Brock Bowers is the best tight end prospect since Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I think he's got generational tight end potential. Let's go to tackle. This is where it gets really interesting.
This is where it gets fun.
Yeah, this is a deep tackle draft, a very deep tackle draft. And I think there is a very consensus number one. I got Joe Alt.
Yep.
I also have Joe Alt.
I have Joe Alt. Uh-oh.
1A, 1B, Olu and Joe.
Whoa.
Yep.
That had to hurt you, didn't it?
No.
Putting Olu?
No, didn't hurt me. I mean, good player.
Yeah. I've got Fashanu at two.
I have Talius Fuaga there.
Same here. Two.
Okay.
He reminds me of Tristan Wirfs.
I have Fashanu.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back to 2020 draft class where there were essentially four tackles, kind of the same thing. There are like four or five tackles that were kind of ranked the same. And the best one was the guy who was a plug-and-play right tackle, pass protection guy. I think it's the Fuaga and Tristan Wirfs are very similar players. Great pass protection, probably a right tackle, which just hurt his value a bit. But I think getting a plug and play right tackle would be great for anything for a young quarterback.
Yeah, I've got Fuaga at three.
I have Olu at three.
I have Fashanu at three.
Interchangeable.
Graham Barton at three.
Wow.
I have Graham Barton at five. So
Duke.
Same.
Duke.
Oh, wait, no.
Jeez.
Latham at three.
Okay.
I got Latham at four.
I have Latham at four.
I also have Latham at four.
I mean, I have Graham Barton. He's so versatile.
I like Graham Barton's versatility a lot.
He can play center, guard, and off the tackle. People like, I know you talk about Mekhi Becton moving over the guard, but moving someone over to guard,
it's not easy.
It's not as easy as it sounds. Guards, in my opinion, have to be a bit more agile. They have to be smart lead blockers.
They do.
Offensive tackles, they wait for the opponent.
He reminds me of Elijah Vera Tucker a lot.
You have to be strong. You have to be an all-around person to be a guard. And I feel like, you know, if you look at some of these players, like Amarius Mims, in my opinion, could not play guard. I see Joel not being able to play guard as effectively. And
I think
Graham Barton is the way to go. Because if you're like a team that needs every single offensive line position known to mankind.
I think the Giants are taking the trade back.
Yeah,
that's why I want him to go.
If you need every single offensive line position known to mankind, you go Graham Barton.
It's nice to have like the interchangeability in the sense just to configure your line whatever way fits you best.
All right, who we got at five?
I had Graham Barton at five.
I have Amarius Mims at five.
I have Tyler Guyton.
Mims, five.
Mims.
I have J.C. Latham at five.
Mims.
I have J.C. Latham at four.
Mims kind of reminds me of the real OBJ, Orlando Brown Jr.
I can see that.
He's big. He's
didn't
tall.
Start much in college.
I hate Amarius Mims. He is
didn't
such.
Start much in college.
He's really clunky.
No. He is a pile. No offense. He's probably a very nice guy in real life. But I'm going to compare his thing. He is a pile of garbage with a sexy dress on it to make it look nice. This is what he is.
It's like putting the rose that grew from concrete.
Listen, he is kind of the anti-Tyler Fuwalga.
He reminds,
start right away.
He reminds me so much of Alex Leatherwood. It's not even funny. He is all size, no technique, and that is not
Mekhi Becton again.
That is not going to work in the NFL. You put that guy one-on-one with Nick Bosa, and I know Nick Bosa's fast, but Nick Bosa's throwing that guy 15 yards. I mean, he is going to get his ass whooped if he's a day one starter.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we go to defense, I did guard and center, so do you mind if I do that real quick?
We'll throw in some guards and center.
Okay, so my top three guards and centers, I had Graham Barton, Cooper Beebe, and Christian Haynes at guard. And then for centers,
Graham Barton.
I had Jackson Powers-Johnson, Zach Frazier, Cedric Van Perren.
I had pretty much the same order.
Oh, yeah, I think the top three are going to be the top two are Zach Frazier.
I think Jackson Powers-Johnson is one of the most highly talented centers we've ever had in a draft class.
Kind of reminds me of Kelce a bit.
I mean, he's good.
He is incredible.
He reminds me of Tyler Linderbaum a lot.
I like the Linderbaum one, yeah.
I just did one guard and one center. I said for guard, Zach Center, and then center, Zach Frazier.
I do like Zach Center.
I like Christian.
Before he got injured, I thought he was really
I like Christian
good.
Haynes. If he wasn't playing for UConn, he'd probably get a lot more attention.
He plays for one of the worst college football teams ever.
I low-key forgot UConn had a football team.
Tim Boyle went there.
Yeah, nobody
you know what their coach is?
Yeah, nobody cares about Tim Boyle. I hate to break it to you.
Oh, what's their coach's name? Their coach is up.
You
know what their coach is? Jim Moore is their coach.
Really?
Jim Elmore, yep.
Wow. Oh, that's actually kind of surprising.
Friday was in the league, I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah. Now we go to the all-awaited defense. Corner, we're going to start.
This is the best position in this class.
We're on 5-1.
I put Cooper DeGene as a safety. I'm just going to put that out there.
I put DeGene as a safety as well.
I have him as a corner, but he can play anywhere. So
he can play wherever the DC wants him to play.
So we're gonna
Andrew's looking very upset right now.
So we're gonna go back to 5-1. My apologies for not doing 5-1 the entire time. At number 5, I have Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama.
I have Nate Wiggins.
I also have Nate Wiggins.
Wiggins at 5.
I'm not moved by Nate Wiggins.
I have TJ Tampa.
I have TJ Tampa at 4, actually.
Okay.
I have Tampa at 4, actually.
All right. I feel like me and Nico have to defend ours.
Well, I really like TJ Tampa, but he plays more zone than man, and in today's league, I feel like man is way, way more important.
I would argue that zone's more important.
I feel like I look at the Chiefs. They played a zone defense.
And they lock up somehow.
Had an amazing secondary. Yeah. I feel like the league might shift more towards a zone scheme. TJ Tampa's a perfect cornerback.
Yeah,
for
but
that.
Then there's always those quarterbacks that are just going to pick the zone apart, and then that's why you have to go to man.
That's true.
And especially with all these fast wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, all these guys, you need corners that will be able to keep up with them in man. And you know, I don't think TJ Tampa will do as well as other guys.
I don't think he's good enough to be like the true one island corner as the mold of some other guys we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
But I think he can be a great like secondary corner to your number one guy in a draft.
Yeah. I have Kool-Aid because best on the board, pretty much. After these
he
four.
He didn't make my top five.
He didn't make your top five. That's actually kind of surprising.
He was the top cornerback to enter the year, too.
Nothing to spec was. I think there's some other guys I like better.
Same with Kalen King. He fell off a cliff.
Kalen King
fell back. To the point where Hoity is getting to the point where he's in front of him.
I don't know how Daquan Hardy's ahead of him.
Special teams.
It's because of the punt return.
You get a 2-for-1 for him.
It's because of the punt returns.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid at 5. I have Nate Wiggins at 4.
Nate Wiggins just doesn't move me much as the guys in front of him do.
I just think that the speed, I think the catch-up speed.
He's fast. He's very fast. That's important in this league.
It's the recovery speed for me that does it.
Wait for me. I have Cam Lassiter.
Ooh.
Kamari Lassiter?
That's my 4.
Yep. Yes.
That's also your 4?
I have Tampa at 4.
I have Cooper DeJean at 4.
Okay.
At 4?
I put him as a corner.
At 4?
Well, were you going to put him 12?
I put him first if he was a corner. That's just me.
That is insane.
Okay. That's insane.
All right, Gabe.
That is insane.
Right. Again, it's the versatility.
Yeah.
He's white.
So?
I'm actually going
to... Come on, Gabe.
Do we really need to explain much of these? I feel like the top 2 or 3 is where we need to start explaining them.
My 3 is going to turn some heads. I have Ennis Rakestraw at 3.
Wow. 3's where I had Lassiter.
Kool-Aid at 3.
I have Terry on Arnold at 3.
I have Nate Wiggins.
I will say this right now. Kamari Lassiter reminds me exactly of Richard Sherman. Not the fastest guy on the field. Not the most zone dependent guy on the field.
He is an incredible zone defender.
I meant man.
Yeah.
Man is what I meant. He's not very good in press coverage, but I mean, he's just, he will hit you and he will light you up. I don't know what other way to describe it other than he's just a dog.
He feels like Richard Sherman. That's a good comp.
Yeah.
Just kind of a jack of all trades. Corner's going to hit you hard.
Yeah.
And plays great.
I mean, when you get him in man is where you can kind of find some of his flaws, but I mean, perfect zone coverage guy.
I had Ennis Rakestraw. He's kind of the opposite. He's a true man press corner.
He's a press guy.
Physical, but that's the league kind of demands that now in a sense. There's always game plays for good press man corners.
He'd be a great Lions player. He'd be a great Lion. Gosh.
That's why I mocked him last draft. He'd be a great fit for the Lions.
He would. I had Terry on Arnold at 3.
I'm higher than most people. He was my 2, actually.
That's my 2.
Wrong. Incorrect. Terry on Arnold?
No, I accidentally put him at 1.
Terry on Arnold?
I put Quinyon at 2. Do not jump me.
I also have Quinyon at 2. And it's simply because he plays in the MAC.
He killed it his senior day.
I know, dude, but
not
he
senior
was,
day, pro,
he
senior,
was locked
senior
down.
Bowl.
You compare him to a guy like Terry Arnold, who played in the SEC.
You could flip those two.
The skill, man. Yeah, you can. But the
I don't
skill,
think you can flip them for
the
me.
Skill gap is so huge between the MAC and the SEC.
It's a huge skill gap.
So you can say the thing, you can say the same thing if, just by saying, you know, John Moran played for Murray State. Legit, you can do that.
He's 6'196". He's a tall corner. Like, that's what you want. Like, you just want that fit. I wouldn't even say physically imposing. You just want that, like, you want that, like, Slenderman type corner, like a Sauce Gardner.
Like Emmanuel Forbes.
You want that kind of guy. You want someone.
That guy, we can put him on an island.
Yes.
Say, guard that best receiver, and he's going to lock him down.
Yes. You want someone with the wingspan. You want someone who can have long strides. They need long strides to be able to catch up with these guys nowadays. And I just think Quinyon Mitchell does that better than anybody.
I'd agree with that.
I'd agree.
For Terry Arnold, my 2, I feel like he's just a playmaker. He's just a playmaker, yeah. And that's so valuable in any era of football. I mean, 63 tackles, 6.5 TFLs, a sack, 5 picks, 12 pass defections, a forced fumble. That's a crazy stat line for a corner.
Yeah.
And he's a great run defender, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's just kind of like, if you need someone to go make a play, he's going to get it.
He's a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy. We want to head to safety now. Safety, we're going to go from 5 to 1 again. I have at number 5, Jaden Hicks, Wazoo.
I have Bo Braid.
I have Cam Kitchens at 5.
Okay. John, who we got a safety?
I have Cam Kitchens at 5.
Cam Kitchens at 5. Andrew, who we got a 5?
I just threw a wild card, Faki from Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
He's a running back. He just doesn't know it yet.
Why not?
At 4, I had Kitchens.
Yep. I have Kalen Bullock.
Okay.
I as well have Kalen Bullock at 4.
Okay. Dejan Taylor, whatchamacallit from Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah. I feel like once we get higher up on this list is where it gets a little more interesting.
Cam Walk, I mean, he's a good cover one safety, I feel like. He's like that one deep ball hawk safety.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas, man.
Number three, I have Javon Bullard.
Same.
Yep.
I have Hicks at three.
Okay.
The most versatile safety in the game. The most dominant at all three levels.
I also have Hicks at three.
Okay. Nico, who we got at three?
I have Javon Bullard.
Okay. Two. This is where I have Cooper DeJean.
I have Cooper DeJean at two.
Yes.
I threw him at two as well.
Yeah.
I have Cam Kitchens here.
I have Newman at Newman at two.
Kitchens at two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Newman at two.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
I think he's great. He could be one, but I think Cooper's better.
Newman at one.
Yeah, Newman at one.
I just think Cooper's better. I think Cooper can just be more versatile.
Minnesota Gophers football. That defense is a revolving door without him. He was their playmaker. And I just think he's the clear cut safety in this draft. I had him going first round.
So does everyone else.
He's the best pure safety in the class. I think Cooper is a better hybrid, he's a better player all around.
I just don't I'm not as moved by DeJean as I once was.
The injury, but I also don't think he has as big of a role that he had at Iowa as he will in the league.
I think he needs to go to a spot that has a good defensive coordinator, can use that talent and put him to a good use. I think he's a perfect Eagles player.
Yeah. That's right. They lost Byard.
I know, and also, they have James Bradbury and Darius Slayton.
They have C.J. Gardner-Johnson now.
Yeah, but they need that two safety, though.
He needs someone who can kind of do everything, and that's kind
of... Are they running with Reed Blankenship?
Yes, they are.
Reed Blankenship moves you?
Exactly. Also, they can play cornerback. They have bad cornerbacks right now.
I don't think
they did just re-sign Avante Maddox as well.
That's good for them. But still, James Bradbury is probably
Avante Maddox, right?
I like Avante Maddox. I think he's a solid corner.
Dude, he gets toasted.
I know he gets toasted, but I still think he's solid.
He was good. I think 3 years ago when I was first introduced to Avante Maddox, he was great. But I just think ever since, it's just been like a steady decline. All right, linebacker. Let's go 5-1.
Oh, God.
Number five, I have J.D. Bertrand, Notre Dame.
I have Tommy Eichenberg.
Okay.
I had Eichenberg, too.
Yeah.
I also have Eichenberg.
And we're 4-5 on Eichenberg at five.
Jeez. Ohio.
The Ohio State.
Nico, he wouldn't even be fifth round if this was a good linebacker.
Don't care.
Class.
Tommy Eichenberg is better than your favorites.
Not a good linebacker class.
Eichenberg was my honorable mention.
Well, somebody didn't declare this year, so.
Yeah.
Iowa, by the way.
Oh, I thought you were talking OU.
No, I was talking Higgins didn't declare.
Yeah, and Carter for Clemson didn't declare either. And Stutzman also is out.
Stutzman is who I was thinking. Number four, I have Junior Colson, Michigan.
I have Peyton Wilson.
That's such a gray.
Peyton Wilson at four?
Boy.
Injury concerns.
Oh.
I had Edgerrin Cooper.
Edgerrin Cooper?
Edgerrin Cooper. I had Edgerrin Cooper at three.
I have Junior Colson at three.
I had Colson at three, yep.
Okay.
I have Colson at three.
Gabe Shum?
I always lose my freaking list. I have Cooper at three.
Okay. Me and Gabe are the same. These top two for me are the clear-cut top two. Two, I have Trotter.
I also have Trotter at two.
Yeah.
I have Edgerrin Cooper at two.
I have been so high on those inside linebackers from Clemson.
Dude, I thought...
It's not even that. Their sack numbers.
If Peyton Wilson wasn't like 6'4", I'd have Trotter here at number one.
Their sack numbers are incredible. And I think that's the only thing that holds them back. Is it Trotter who's the 6'1", or is it... One of them 6'1", and one of them 6'.
Trotter, he's just not good enough in the run game for me.
Trotter's 6'1", I think.
He's not
good enough in the run game for
me. He's not, but he finds the gaps.
Yeah.
He's just not... I think you want... I mean, I'm a Jets fan. I watch C.J. Mosley every weekend. He's a great... That's kind of what I'm modeling.
Trotter is about 15 pounds away from being a smaller Micah Parsons. I'm so serious when I say this.
I value a good run-stopping linebacker.
If you find that guy in the C-gap, it's lights out. I mean, he is very good at getting sacks for a middle linebacker.
So yeah,
that's not what I want on my linebackers. It's probably why I have Norris.
He's also fast, and he can pass cover pretty decently.
I value pass coverage and run stopping linebacker. That's why I didn't have him there.
It's just a run game, because when you have a guard coming at you and you're 6 foot, what, 210, that guard's gonna flatten you in that lead block.
Yeah, that's not gonna. That's NFL guards are bigger too.
Yeah,
that's why it doesn't really work out for me.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us are going to have Peyton Wilson at one.
I have Peyton Wilson at one.
I have Jeremiah Trotter at one.
Okay. I wanted to be a Patriot.
Dallas Turner?
He's not a linebacker.
I haven't missed, I haven't missed an edge rusher.
He's an edge rusher.
He's an edge.
Oops.
No, 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 no. Or, are you just going to put Peyton Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's the only other one really available.
He's a field general. He's a true field general. Yeah. That's why I like him.
On to a little bit of an interesting one. Nose tackle. We got interior D-line. Number five, I have Brandon Dorlus, Oregon.
I have Braden Fisk.
I also have Braden Fisk at five.
I have I can't pronounce his name. Rook Ahorahoro.
No, he's a monster. No.
Rook Ahorahoro. Freddy Five Bear. We got a five, Andrew. Interior D line.
Wait, am I casual for not knowing Rook
Ahorahoro?
Who?
Clemson.
Oh, that's why I don't.
Yeah.
Really. I want him to be a Brown so badly. Like, I need him on the Browns.
Oh, here he is. Oh, 6'4", 489?
He didn't play much in college.
Dude, he's a monster.
He is a... Yeah, he's
crazy. He's a freak. He's my honorable mention.
This is a good
mention.
ID line class. This is a good ID line class.
It's a good idea.
There's a lot of good physical guys in this class.
I just thought the top five for me were just... Just that slight bit better than him. He's my honorable mention. Horror.
Four, I have Fisk. I have Fisk at four.
That's where I have Fisk.
I have Rook.
Fisk at four.
You have Rook at four?
Yeah.
I have Javonte Sweat.
Okay.
Ooh.
I feel like he was being overshadowed by Murphy.
I mean, for good reason.
Murphy's Big 12 player, defensive player of the year. You can't stop that, but, you know, you have two great interior linemen. One of them's going to get overshadowed.
He's no Beanie Bishop,
I feel like that.
He's no Beanie Bishop. You're right about
He's
that.
No Beanie Bishop.
Yeah, Beanie can beat him in a foot race. I think that's about it.
At three, exactly. I have Chris Jenkins at three.
I have Chris Jenkins at three also. At Michigan.
I have
can't go wrong.
It's a great defense.
I have Tavondre Sweat at three.
I have Chris Jenkins at three.
Okay.
That's agreeable.
I think the top Jenkins. Two are consensus. I have Newton at two and Byron Murphy at one.
I have Newton at two and Byron Murphy at one.
That's also what I have.
I have Murphy at two, Newton at one.
I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
You could swap them, honestly. They're both amazing defensive linemen.
They are both very, very good.
And honestly, like, as we talked about this in the mock draft, interior defensive linemen are going to be the new core of what defense are going to be built around from now on.
Yeah, I think Byron Murphy at nine to the Bears would be absolutely monumental.
That's where I mocked him.
I think it'd be monumental for that Bears defense because that is the only hole in this team.
Because you build around the interior defensive linemen. You build around them.
They have their edge rushers now, too.
Yeah, there's no excuse for them to not at least make the playoffs, if not win the division. They got to at least compete with the Lions.
Oh, Packers?
No, I think it's between – if the Bears live up to their hype, I think it's Chicago, Detroit. No. I'm not writing them off that quick. It's just that division's getting really good.
I think the Bears are need more time.
I think it depends. The pieces around Williams are there right now.
I think it depends. It depends on the coaching. It really does for the Bears.
I think it's the Packers.
Caleb's going to be Caleb, and he's thrown into a very good situation. His line is going to be iffy. He has his receivers. He has his tight end. He has his running back technically.
But you don't go from a You don't turn around that fast.
Yeah,
ever.
Texans.
Yeah.
Texans.
That's different, though. They didn't get a new head coach.
No, I know, but that's what I said. It depends on the coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very rare for teams to turn around
and
that
they
fast.
Just got a new offensive coordinator.
Okay.
And I think, Texans weren't playing the Lions and the Packers week in and week out.
Yeah.
They were playing the hurt mid-Jaguars and Mayo Man Will Levis.
Yeah,
Gardner Minshew's Mayo led boy. Colts.
They did lose to the Panthers. Yeah, that is
yes,
true.
Yes, they did. All right, and our last category for you guys today is edge rusher, which
this
I think
is the fun one.
This is a fun one.
Yeah,
this is a bit fun. Yeah, I think there's four clear cut guys. I feel like the five is where it gets weird, but I think there's four guys that you can choose from for the top four. Number five, I have Darius Robinson, Mizzou.
I have Chris Braswell.
Okay,
I have Jonah Elliott.
Jonah
Ellis or whatever his name is, yeah.
So I have Robinson, but my main concern is speed. Like, obviously,
yeah,
he's not fast. Inside to outside, but the size.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
At five, I have Braylon Trice.
Okay. Gabe, I want to go off that Jonah Ellis take. I thought he was good for Utah.
He was Utah.
He's so one-dimensional.
Yeah, but
You know, when speed kills, man. Like, it's not even that, really. But, I mean, you saw what he did in the beginning of the year.
Yeah. He was... Wasn't he at one point the sack leader for the NCAA?
He was fifth in Heisman voting, I think.
Yeah. But I just think that fall off is something that needs to be.
It was a bad fall off.
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
Once he started Pac-12 play, when he started against a higher competition, he just couldn't figure it out.
That's just what turns him off.
But you got to see, there's two top 15 picks at offensive tackle in that conference. And I mean, he's facing some tough people. I think when it comes to Utah, I just don't think they developed him right. They saw his one skill and said, we're going to go all in on that, and never developed him into something else.
Yeah.
He'd be a good fit. I feel like the edge rusher is good.
I feel like if he gets into a situation.
Like a Vikings.
Like, exactly. I feel like he's a guy you pick in early third round. You sit him for a year. He can watch behind someone, and he can pick up a few more trades.
Yeah.
And then he can turn into a halfway decent starter.
Yeah. Here is where the four people come in, I think. Number four, I have Jared Verse.
I have Jared Verse.
Wow, I have Chop Robinson.
I have Chop.
Who we got, Andrew? Number four.
I have Late to Latu.
Whoa.
Four.
Yeah.
Huh. Why is that?
I moved Verse to three, Chop to two, and Turner to one.
Yeah.
Versus good. I mean, he's like the most all around average good edge rusher.
It just doesn't move me. Yeah,
for me to move somebody, I would move Verse to four, Lay two to three.
He doesn't really have that X factor a Dallas Turner has.
Yeah,
that's what moves him down for me. He'd be a great edge rusher. He'd be a good edge rusher.
Really like Chop.
I do too. He's my three.
He's my three. I think Chop
Versus is my three.
I mean, can't
Versus your three.
Yeah. Just flip-flop him and
thinking
Chop.
About Chop, I cannot get the Bryce Huff comparison out of my head right now after watching his film. They can't be very similar players, just guys who are violent, go out there and get the quarterback, get sacks on their
and
fast.
I feel like that's what they want to do. He's not just fast. Like you said, he's violent. And he plays like it, too.
Yeah, just go out there, get the quarterback, take him down.
That's why
you're not going to
play
every snap.
That's why I think Washington is going to see if he falls to their early second-round pick. That 36 pick to see if he falls there. Because remember, edge rusher is not I'm not saying it's not deep, but I'm saying there's so many other positions, like wide receiver, quarterback, offensive line.
Tackle.
It gets overlooked. So you could see, because, of course, Dallas Turner is going first off the board. And it's not him, it's Latu.
Oh, yeah.
And then I feel like people like Verse, because Verse is better experienced. He killed LSU at Florida State when he played there. I mean, I feel like Chop is the fourth guy on there, and I think he could fall to a team that needs him just because of who else is in this draft class. Not just his position, but every other position.
Yeah. Two is Latu for me.
I have Latu at two. He's the best finisher in this class.
I have Verse at two.
He's not the most athletic, but he has a place where it counts, I think. And I think that matters more than being like a physical freak in a sense.
Yeah. And I think it kind of goes without saying
Dallas
who number
Turner.
One is.
Dallas Turner.
I think Dallas Turner is the best player in
the draft. Holy crap, is he an athlete?
He might be.
He's a beast.
And it's crazy because we have so many offensive needing teams in that top 10. That he might drop to like.
He's a Falcon. He is a Falcon.
That's a bad place to put him because I don't.
I think Raheem Morris knows defense.
I haven't gone to the Bears.
That's what I'm saying. It's bad for the league because Raheem Morris with a person like Dallas Turner,
that's going to be a scary Falcons team.
Pass rushing. I hate making the comparison.
He can change your defense.
I hate making the comparison. He gives me TJ Watt vibes.
That's not how I see when I look at him.
He gives me TJ Watt vibes, but I think the way he's used in defense, And I've seen people talk about this, and it is by far one of the most true things I've heard about this draft. Dallas Turner is one of the best coverage linebackers I've ever seen.
He reminds me of a prime Von Miller.
Yeah.
That's my comparison to him.
And I mean, it's just like the way he can play. Yeah. The defense changing players. The way he plays on the defense, I don't know if this is going to register right with you guys, but he reminds me of what everyone thought Isaiah Simmons was going to be.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
He can play wherever you need him to, and he'll get at least get the job done right.
I feel like his best position, though, would be, and I don't...
Outside
I,
linebacker.
I'm not saying, like, his... Like, yeah, I like that T.J. Watt, because people say, oh, T.J. Watt gets the sacks. T.J. Watt drops back to the coverage.
Yeah.
And not to be offensive to Myles Garrett or someone like... Well, he's or, a true or, Nick, edge. Or Nick Bosa. Those guys are defensive ends. And that's well, yeah, he's not, a true edge That's rusher. Not what Turner is, like you've been saying. He is... And he's a right outside linebacker. He is legit yeah. what it is. Or a left outside. He's an outside... He's a pure outside linebacker. And, I mean, he's shown with his physicals... His combine and his ability, there's a reason why he's defensive player of the year.
Checks every box.
Yeah.
Every box.
He, I don't know. He just like, it feels weird to compare him to Isaiah Simmons because everyone
they
thought
could never figure him out, though.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing with, what's his face, the Jaguars that went first overall. Trayvon Walker. They can't figure where the hell to put
him. He's a linebacker.
He is. And in my opinion, he is a Michael Parsons. Yeah. He's not going to run on the outside. Yeah. You get your defensive line to – I'm going to take a quack here. You get your defensive line up that inside line, and then he comes storming in and kills the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you need him to do.
It's just Dallas Turner is one of my favorite prospects I've seen
there
in the last
many
couple of drafts.
That you can come out of a draft and change that defense entirely. He's one of those
he's a Parsons. He's a Micah Parsons in my books. I don't. He's not so much an edge rusher.
In terms of effect, he has on defense.
I think Parsons has that kind of impact, and
I agree.
He's like a. It's crazy to say out of the draft that he's compared to guys that have been dominating the defensive player of the year votes over the past few years.
He'll be up there soon.
He will be. I really do think he is, but.
He's gonna fall probably because it's just an offensive draft.
It's a pure offensive draft.
A lot of the teams, till the Falcons and that Bears second pick. Don't need defense at all.
And that's why I like that you're not mad at me when I say Chop could fall out of the first round.
Yeah. I could see him fall.
It's going to be him.
I think I have him early second.
It's going to be him or Verse that falls out. It's just how it's going
to
unfold.
Latu and Turner are like for sure first rounders.
It's an offensive league.
Yeah. But
I'll say that.
It's just the I forget where I was going with my point, but it's just the Dallas Turner was this is where I was going. In college, this is really the first year we've gotten to see the Dallas Turner. He's been overshadowed by Will Anderson his entire Alabama career. And everybody was looking at tape. They were all looking at film. And they were like, "Ooh, Will Anderson. Who's this other guy?" It was Dallas Turner. And nobody knew Dallas Turner was a five-star. Dallas Turner came out of high school very highly recruited. Obviously, he went to Bama. But I feel like he's just been overshadowed. This was his year to show who he is because Will Anderson obviously left for the draft. And he's doing big things in the NFL. Bama linebackers, you can never go wrong. And I mean, when you've got someone as athletic, when you've got someone as athletically gifted as Dallas Turner, there is no way you can go wrong.
I want you to take back that Alabama linebacker, you can't go wrong thing. Okay. Because do you know who Ryan Anderson is?
Yep. Oh my God. I feel like that's good to wrap it up. Anybody have any other thoughts they'd like to air out about the NFL before we go?
I would just say I was looking through the linebacker rankings. Did Lee Koba just fall off the face of the earth?
Undersized,
probably.
Undersized, not the best in coverage.
God, I totally forgot about Kalen King. I can't get over that.
Okay,
I totally forgot he existed.
If anyone, Kalen King.
He fell.
If anybody picks up Beanie Bishop in the late rounds, you got a stud.
You do. As long as he plays on the short side of the field.
Yeah. Deep coverage, not really your guy. But in the short coverages, he's your guy.
Amazing ball skills.
Oh, yeah. He's great. He's great on the ball. But I think... Oh, no. All right. Let's wrap it up with that. These episodes will be getting out soon.
Saturday.
Saturday.
We have a date.
We have an expecting date.
It's a post-Easter miracle.
Yeah, April 6th. Saturday, April 6th, you will be bombarded with Stirring the Pot goodness.
I have
a lot of episodes are coming out.
10,
it's like 10. 10, 12, 13, 14, That's 15, 16, ball, 17, 18, 19, 20, and I think this is 21.
Yeah, and there's two-parter. There's a two-parter with one of those.
Yeah, I counted a two-parter in there.
Studio for 4 hours recording.
Yeah, AFC and NFC. It was the free agency. I feel like that's kind of necessary for it to be a two-parter because there's so much that went on. This is one of the crazy. I think it might be the craziest free agency the NFL has ever seen. But I think it's a good place to wrap it up. We do thank you guys for the patience with us putting out episodes. And as always, we will see y'all in the next episode. This has been Stirring the Pot. Peace, y'all.